football on off the ball.
Well, I think man management is far more nuanced nowadays, as you're suggesting, because the dressing rooms have changed. You've got players from different faiths, different cultures, different communities, and you've got to reflect all that. These are player whisperers as well as player shouters.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball. GAA.
I'm delighted to be joined by former Mary Immaculate College teammates and former Limerick and Tipperary hurlers Declan Hannan and Niall O'Mara as Electric Ireland previews the Fitzgibbon Cup final as part of the Electric Ireland Higher Education Championships. This season, through its First Class Rivals campaign, Electric Ireland will spotlight players from across the championship in the Electric Ireland Player of the Match series and continue to celebrate the unique alliances that form between county rivals as they come together in pursuit of some of the most coveted titles across GAA. Lads, how are you?
Very good now. How are you keeping?
Very good, thank you. I just spent the last couple of minutes watching the last few minutes of the 2016 Fitzgibbon Cup final again. I'm not sure I've seen as much chaotic scenes since.
Was Keane Lynch's point on a Rachel by any chance?
Yeah, the ones on YouTube are just like the very final minutes and that scrap of the goal mouth.
Oh, yeah. But I actually forgot. You were saying it actually wasn't televised, I don't think. Between the election was on or something, so it actually wasn't televised, so a lot of people actually missed out on an epic game.
One of the best, I'd say, because even looking for the highlights, it's hard to come by, and it's just like those kind of dying minutes, and the commentary behind, there was obviously some lad kind of standing next to it, just like, blow it up, ref, please blow it up.
We have the DVD if you ever want it, we'll send it up to you.
You could have sent that over to me now yesterday, that would have been very helpful.
That was brilliant, yeah.
What are your memories of that game? Like, extra time upon extra time, have you played in something as kind of tense as that since?
I don't think so. Over 48 hours, probably, you know, like inter-county training on a Tuesday, I'd say, for everybody. And then semi-final against LIT on Friday, that was a bit of a dogfight. I think we only won it by a point or two. Then we had to turn around and obviously play UL on Saturday. And I suppose Saturday kind of put your finger on it. We just had a good group, good, you know, bond between us all. And like, lads were enjoying it. I think that's the most important thing with it. Like, there was no mention of tactics around it. It was really just, quote, it's us versus them, Mary I versus UL, it's Limerick Derby kind of thing. I just remember that being kind of like a bit of a narrative as well. Like, it's funny.
You both, I was kind of checking the match report as well. You both ended up injured in the latter stages of that game as well, both coming off kind of from the 69th minute onward.
Say the old fitness, the injured light was on there throughout extra time.
Yeah.
So yeah, but sure. Like, yeah, I actually forgot it was the day before was the semi final, and then the day after was the final. So intense 48 hours. Yeah, but geez, unreal memories. Like, I mean, it was something you'll remember forever. Like, and especially with Mary I, it's such a small college, first year, everyone if it's given cup as well. And just great memories. And I suppose the Fitzgibbon Cup is special in the sense that you get to play with lads from different counties, you know, from different clubs in those counties as well, and learn so much off them. And yeah, as Niall said, it was a great old crack along the way as well. We didn't even train that much because a lot of lads were playing in the county, so it's kind of meet up and, you know, discuss a small couple of tactics, hit the ball around the hall in Mary I and go up and play the matches then. So I think that was so enjoyable as well, that, you know, the intensity of it was a bit lower than the county scene as well.
Do you think that's something that's continuing on now? Because, you know, we see so many of the guys involved, especially tomorrow night, in county setups for the league, and they're probably not training as much, even as yourselves. Like, there was probably more of a designated time for colleges championships well then, but now that it's kind of running concurrently to the league, it's probably similar, just like kind of going and see what happens.
Yeah, there's a good bit of an overlap still in our time, Rachel. And I suppose the thing about is, talking to my cousin there, like, I think the kind of week-to-week matches is suiting some teams a bit better, because a lad that might have a niggle, you might have him for the next game. And I think that's one thing, I suppose, as well, it's tricky to get right, is I just heard David Power mention last night with the Sigerson final that he was speaking to Andy Warren from Mayo. But I wouldn't know how open the dialogue is between management teams. I presume their bit goes on that, you know, if a lad's carrying a niggle, don't play him, or vice versa. But it's kind of hard to get the balance right. But as you said, like, very enjoyable, because it's a way in from the slog and training in Turles or in Rakhiel or somewhere, and you get to go out with your friends and just play a bit. So that's the enjoyable side of it. Then I suppose you, like, I was marking Barry Heffernan for a while, like, we would have been teammates in the final. So it's quite weird from that perspective as well, that you're marking your teammate and then you go train and play with them the following week.
I think Jamie Wall said as well during the week that obviously there's going to be a rivalry because it's two Limerick teams, but people will probably be just as friendly with the lads on the opposing team as they are with their teammates in the different colleges. Like, so it's a special kind of a competition in that way, and marked all the more special the fact that it's an all Limerick derby. Will there be an extra bit of bite because of that, do you think?
I say there probably will. Like, well, not even because it's a local derby, because it's, if it's given cup final and lads are competitive, like, I mean, there's probably lads from the same club that could be on opposition teams, and nobody wants to go back to club training and next week on the losing side. So there'll be plenty of bite. It's, as I said, it's a great competition, and I think it being on in Croke Park is such a, will make it even more special for the lads when I'm playing it. And, you know, I suppose it's sickener for us that we didn't get to play this final in Croke Park, which, like, in itself is, you know, a daunting enough proposition for lads that mightn't have been there before. So they'll have to get used to their surroundings fairly quickly and, you know, try and perform on the pitch then. But I think Mary Eye are well set up in that sense, with having Jamie Wall and Patch Collins and a few lads in the background who have, you know, such experience of, you know, being up in Croke Park, being involved in big days. So on paper, yeah, it looks like you are strong favourites, but you would have to give Mary Eye a fighting chance at the same time.
Yeah, just speaking about Jamie Wall there, he was involved in the coaching setup the year he won that maiden one in 2016. But Eamon Cregan announced his retirement after 23 years being involved that evening after he won. Did you know that that was going to be his last dance?
Not a hope. And I suppose he was obviously ingrained in the college and everyone knew him, you know, and there was stories about him. But he's a great fella as well. And in terms of Jamie, like, I think, as well, Jamie played with us in 2013 when we lost the final against UCC, and I think that kind of embodies what he is. He kind of knows all about the college game, and in fairness, he was great to gel us together. And I'm assuming, you know, he's there the best part of a decade now, and like, he's probably got that kind of, I suppose, style of getting grouped together very quickly, because you only have a month, maybe 6 weeks with the whole panel together. But in terms of Eamon, 23 years, like, it's some dedication to a small college like Mary Eye, and like, obviously the pinnacle in 2016 would have been winning the Fitzgibbon Cup. But I know, like, talking to Brendan Matter and these lads that hurled under him, they all had a great time for him as well. So he's a great servant as GA, and, you know, he's a great servant to Mary Eye, as you mentioned there, with 23 years of, you know, I suppose that little pitch out the back and teaching lads how to hurl, or maybe how to do the right and wrong thing. It's a fair going.
Declan, he's spoken often about how tough he finds it watching Limerick. Even now, you know, he went through years of playing with them, obviously, with that win in 73. But do you find the same now, having retired recently? Are you able to watch the games a little bit easier?
Yeah. No, I am able to watch them, to be honest, Johnny. Sure, obviously it's the first year of not being involved in a long time, which is different and all that. But no, I don't. I find this not easy, but I'm not ducking and diving around the back of the couch watching the matches either, you know. But yeah, it's different. I suppose, discussing earlier on, the biggest change for me anyway, what I see is, you know, you're missing your buddies and your friends that you've built up such great relationships over the last 10-15 years. So from that side, it's tough, but I don't miss running around, you know, Rakeel or any of these places this time of year anyway, with the rain flogging down. So currently getting on the finest. So I'm based in Dublin a lot of the time, but slowly and surely coming to terms with the whole thing.
Do you try and interact with a lot of the lads still, or do you know, especially when it's kind of starting to reach championship end of the season, that they're locking in and they're going to be in their own kind of echo chamber? Or do you try and kind of remove yourself?
Like, I mean, when you're out of that bubble, you're out, and when you're in the bubble, you're in. And, you know, I've had enough experience of being inside there that the last thing you want to be doing is talking about hurling to somebody who's outside that bubble, you know what I mean? So be very conscious of that. And gone from meeting them 4 or 5 times a week now to so sporadically, you know. And you know, that's just the way it is. It doesn't go on forever, and, you know, they're on a totally different schedule to the schedule I'm on now. So, you know, I have to respect that and give them space and time to do what they need to do, because it does take up a huge amount of your hours in the day. So you know, you'll just be hoping everything goes so well for them, and you're just wishing them all the best for the rest of the year.
And Niall, same for yourself. How did you find it, kind of hanging up the boots? No, you would have struggled with so many injuries as well coming through the years.
Yeah, it's interesting. I suppose the first year I would have found it hard just watching games and that. Like, it's funny, like, just because, and at the same time, tip weren't going well. So you'd be like, they're my friends in there, I have to support them. And, you know, like, that's the other side of it too. You soldier with these lads for so long, and, you know, tough times, good times, bad times, you're there all the way with them. And like, for likes of Noel McGrath and these lads, you know, I'm sure they come out and said it, that, you know, 2024 was a real kind of difficult year for them. And I suppose that was the biggest thing for me. Like, you're trying to support them through that tough time, because you know how much effort goes in there. And then last year then was the total opposite. You know, there was XC for the boys in July when they won it. So like Noel got his fourth medal, and Ronan and John and Jason got the third medal, and all the young boys got maybe their first or second. So it's just different, you know. I think from my perspective, obviously having a family and a son, my decision was a bit easier to kind of step away. But as Declan said there, you kind of, do you miss the meeting up with the lads and having a bit of crack? Like, you know, a lot of your memories are created on the hurling field, but it's the journey in between where you have the banter training or do that tough session, or, you know, you go to a training camp somewhere and you kind of, you build a bit of resilience, and, you know, they have your back and I have their back, and that's what great teams are really. And, you know, I suppose that was the challenge was actually a very exciting part. That's the part I missed the most, that you have to be on your game every night and going in and playing against, thankfully, we had some of the best players in Ireland at the time, and I'm sure Declan was the same. You had to be tuned in going in, but definitely, yeah, you've missed the friendships. You don't see lads as much, but I suppose that's the way life goes. You kind of move on to the next phase, and I'm sure that that'll happen for everybody that retires at some stage. They'll find a niche, you know, or stop about, I play a bit of golf, Declan, I don't know what he's doing at the moment, I'm drinking coffee, but he'll find something.
Is there any part of you when you're watching the All-Ireland final this summer that's saying, I'd love to have stayed on?
No, I'll tell you why, because I made peace with my decision, and my first cousin Craig Morgan was on the team, so, you know, like, I was more playing through him, if that's the case, because that sense of family, and yeah, obviously my friends are there as well. So, like, if you honestly know, maybe 2024 would might have been different, being like, you know, maybe I left a year or two earlier, but, or whatever it may have been. But no, 2025, I think, was just redemption for Tip. And when you're a Tip supporter and you just want the boys to do well, I think that was the kind of biggest thing. I didn't have any, you know, sense of, I wish I was, obviously wish you were, I was there, but I mean, no, I didn't wish I was playing or anything, because I know, I said to Declan, you know how hard it is to get there. It's slogging October, November, December to get to the pinnacle in July. It's not easy. And as we said, we were lucky to get a few. He got a more than me, but I'm, as I said, I was happy to have those memories in Croke Park, and that's half the battle, I suppose.
He got a few more than most anyway, in fairness. You wouldn't be the only one losing out there. Taking a look now to tomorrow's game, arguably one of the most star-studded panels we've seen with this UL panel, especially looking at that full forward line, Darren McCarthy, Adam Screeny and Aidan O'Connor. I know you'll obviously be you'd be rooting for Mary I. Do you think going in as the underdog will be an advantage then? Probably the same way that you went in 2016, was it?
Yeah, similar enough. I think like on paper, you're looking at the UL team, and geez, it's like an intercounty setup, and you know the caliber of player they have is unbelievable. Like, but at the same time, Mary I have a lot of really, really decent players as well. And again, I think, you know, their management team is really, really strong, and they'll have, you know, different plans in place to kind of curtail UL as best they can. And, you know, I think, they're underdogs, but I'd give them a real, real fighting chance. Obviously, with our Mary I hats on here, like, it's, it'd be a bit biased, but I'd be praying that Mary I do come out on the right side of the result tomorrow.
Do you think Jamie Wall and Padge Collins will have something special over this team, that they'll be able to drive that on? Even looking at those panels, that outside noise would probably suit a lot of teams, would it? That everyone is talking about how amazing this panel is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think Shane McGrath on the opposite with Brian Ryan might do a good job of, you know, let's quench this noise fairly quickly. I think Shane's an experienced operator and coaching for a while, so that will come into it too. But like, in terms of the Mary I side, they'll definitely use it as a, you know, I suppose, a carrot to dangle over the boys, you know, Shane O'Farrell inside, and even Shane Walsh from Kilkenny. Like, they'd love to make American Croke Park stage tomorrow, like, and I suppose you add in if Shane O'Ryan is fit, Mary I won't be far off it. I think the one thing we'll say about UL is, I think they have a reputation as well of, as always, being like the favourites. So that brings its own bit of pressure. And I think just looking, watching Mary I last week, they didn't score for 18 minutes, but they created a load of chances. So if their efficiency comes up tomorrow evening and they play the same way they did against DCU, they'll give UL lots of problems. And Croke Park, you know, as Declan said, it's a tough stage at the best of times. So it'll be interesting to see who flourishes and maybe who finds the going tough. That'll be a bit of a challenge. I'd say a lot of them are probably experiencing the first time in Croke Park, to be honest.
Is there something special about Mary I, it being such a close-knit college, when you compare to like the student populations of the likes of any of the colleges in Dublin and UL and UCC? Is there a bit of a kind of a chip on the shoulder? We're the small one in the city.
I wouldn't say it's a chip on your shoulder, but it's like, I suppose you take pride in representing a small group like that, that, you know, it's nearly like a club set up, of course, that in the bigger colleges are, you know, they're just enormous when you compare the two of them. So I think there's definitely a pride thing there that, you know, we're the underdogs, we're the little fellas here trying to compete with the big fish. And nothing nicer than coming out the right side of a result tomorrow night, which would, you know, make the journey back down to Limerick a lot sweeter for the Mary Islands if they do come out on the right side.
And we also both attended UL for a year. We haven't mentioned that. Both of us failed first year, got kicked out when Mary I took us in. And on a serious note, we both transferred after first year to Mary I. So it's quite interesting there that someone's got the experience both. And definitely, I know he mentioned earlier on, you'd meet everyone in Mary I every week, whereas in UL, you might not see a lad for a month. It's actually, you know, if you talk about the size of it, that's probably the best way of describing it. Like, if you genuinely might not see someone for 3 or 4 weeks, but Mary I was like secondary school. You'd be walking down the hallway and there'd be someone there and you get chatting to them. And I think that's where the kind of camaraderie and the glue, maybe to give Jamie Wall his extra 1% tomorrow night, might come in.
And one player we're going to be seeing tomorrow lining out for UL is one of your Limerick teammates, Cathal O'Neill. We had Seamus Flanagan on the breakfast show yesterday morning, Declan, and he was mentioning that he thinks Cathal O'Neill might be one of the best people to fill your boots and kind of maybe move in Will O'Donoghue out to the wing. What would your thoughts on that be?
Actually, for Cathal anywhere, to be honest, he's just a fantastic athlete and player and, you know, striker of the ball, athleticism, vision, scoring. Like, he can do everything, you know. And yeah, he will have a big role to play in the Limerick setup this year, that's for sure, you know, and for UL tomorrow night. So, like, it's funny, on the outside looking in, you're just hoping the best for these lads, regardless of where they're playing, like, or what team they're playing with. You want them to do well. Obviously, with my Limerick hat on, I want him to do really, really well with Limerick in whatever position, you know. So, I'd say we're lucky to have a person like Cathal O'Neill on the Limerick scene at the minute. And, just looking forward to seeing how he contributes throughout the year.
And how do you think John Coyle will be feeling now, and the group itself, probably disappointing last to Waterford in the first game, but bringing it back against Kilkenny last weekend to a fairly comprehensive victory in the last kind of like 7 minutes?
Yeah, no, they finished really well, and you know, that's our consistent throughout the entire game, so I'm sure they'll be very happy with that. And look, they're building along nicely there, and you know, a couple of new lads, a couple of new names involved in the first few games. Matthew Fitzgerald there is, you know, doing really, really well. He looks real solid and, you know, comfortable in the intercounty scene. So again, very much looking forward to seeing how he progresses over the next number of games and moving into the championships. So it's exciting times for him. Yeah, of course, we'd have been disappointed last year and the year before the way things finished up, but you know, that's the cut and thrust of the intercounty game. You're not going to win every year. You know, there's going to be teams that beat you. So looking forward to see how they bounce back now, and you know, again, wishing them the very, very best of luck for 26.
And Niall, same for yourself. Like, we've obviously we have defending champions, but the pipeline of talent just doesn't seem to stop coming out of Tipperary. Nina winning the Hearty Cup again this year. That's like the last 4 years coming from a Tipperary team. So many representatives on these college teams. Tipper going nowhere.
Yeah, I agree. I think we had a partnership with Satanta, you know, Strength Condition College a couple of years ago, that brought in with Tipperary. It's definitely made a difference in terms of, you know, speed, strength, and you can see the fruits of it coming through. You know, you've got good lads over the minor team. You know, James Woodlock has been there, Brendan Cummins has been there, obviously Liam Catton and Mikey Beavan. So they're all getting top class coaching and really good setups. And, you know, even looking at schools, some of the school setups at the moment, like a friend of mine is involved with, Jack Peters is involved with Nina CBS, and like just talking to him there, it's very professional. So like everyone that's, you know, getting to the level is getting very good setup. And as you said, we're going nowhere, hopefully, for the time being. You know, if Darren McCarthy there tomorrow night, you know, Oisín O'Donoghue, who would probably two of the top fours in Ireland at their age. And you know, Aaron Morgan is playing for cornerback for UL as well, and a few lads in the Mary I team. So Adam Daly's there. So, like, we've got a load of the Tip lads to watch out for tomorrow night as well. And just as Declan said, if you watch them with your Tip hat on, hoping, you know, that they could be the stars of the show tomorrow evening and kick on and do the same in, you know, Turles or the Gaelic grounds in 2 or 3 months' time. So, yeah, please God will be there for a while, because, you know, I think there's enough talent there, and hopefully they can, I suppose, have that consistency and go back to back, because I'm sick of getting slagged by Cork lads about doing one in a row and stuff like this.
I don't think we've got any grounds to be slagging Tip people at the moment anyway, for I can speak on behalf of the county. So predictions for tomorrow, you think Mary I can get over the line?
I think they can, yeah. I think they're a hardened group now, who have come through plenty of battles, you know, not just this year, but even the last couple of years as well. They're solid, and I think they'll give a performance. So yeah, I'd be tipping Mary I for tomorrow night.
Yeah, just on that, things, like as I said earlier on, things have to go right for him, and try and stay in the game for as long as they can. And you know, maybe 15 minutes to go, they have the belief to win. I'm sure they believe they can win, but the longer they stay in the game, the more that belief will grow. And like looking at the likes of Keane Scully and wing back, and as like this, you know, they've got athletes that might Super Bowl part too. So yeah, hoping, as I said, we've our Mary Ayats on here, so we're hoping they might sneak it by a point or two and spark celebrations again similar to ones we had.
I would say there were some celebrations. Are they the kind of things that you look back on when you think about Fitzgibbon as opposed to the games, like celebrations? Actually, we hear a lot about the bus journeys.
Yeah, like the games are great, like 100%, but it is the journeys to the matches and coming home, and sure, the crack is fantastic. Like, and I suppose that's a big part of college as well, that, you know, lads do get to enjoy themselves. And you know, that's I suppose how you get to know lads really off the field, is those journeys home and, you know, the few pints after matches and enjoying company off the pitch and away from the training scene, where it's very intense, whereas here you get to know the real characters, I suppose.
There's a good bit of a balance, so between hurling and a bit of crack.
Cheers. Absolutely essential, yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Lads, thanks very much.
Off the ball, GAA.